we're thrilled to have you be here for this session, and our hope is that we'll all gain more about the topic of the whole thing here, thriving, right? That's the goal. And we have and want to share some international lessons on that and engagements with that, because the international church leaders go through a lot of things that we do and then a lot more in some ways. And so it's just a light. I'm Dennis Jackson, and I have the privilege of just giving leadership to the mission of the Wesleyan Church around the world. And I pinch myself literally every day, everywhere I go. I didn't grow up in a Christian home or anything, and here I am with a front row seat to see what God's doing around the world. And I got to tell you, it's the most exciting job in the world. It is, because I get to see what God's doing. And I'm thrilled to have with me Nikki Nettleton, and I'll let you self-introduce, because you know you better even than I do, and I know you well.
Well, I'm Nikki Nettleton, and I served in Croatia and Bosnia with my family for 15 years as a missionary. And now I'm back working on Dennis's team and the resource team in Indianapolis, giving leadership to learning and leadership development, wellness as a part of that, for our missionaries around the world.
Which is so critical, because we're all on that learning journey, and that's why you're here today. Could I offer a prayer for us? Father, bless in this time. Even as we prayed this morning, we sense that there's going to be a moment where, in the midst of all of this, something will be said, something will be heard, maybe from someone else in the room, and maybe, Holy Spirit, you'll just choose to sort of express yourself in a way that'll be significant. So we would ask that you would really guide us in this time, mm-hmm. that we would be quick to learn and then to multiply that in the lives of others. Mm-hmm. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. So we're talking about thriving. What does it mean to thrive? And this is a high interaction time. It's just us, okay? So what does it mean to thrive? When you think thrive, what comes to mind?
To be successful in something.
To be successful in something. Yeah, some days anything, right? I made it through the day. It was success. I thrive. Yeah, good. What else?
Beyond maintenance, is moving forward.
Yeah, beyond maintenance, moving forward. Good.
Healthy and
growing. Yep. Yeah, firing on all cylinders. That would be so nice, at least a few days, right? You know, like, man, I think it's all working today. Yeah, good. What's that? Yeah, there you go. You had a one cylinder. I heard about a five cylinder the other day. Like, they couldn't make up their mind whether to do a four or a six. They did a five. I can't figure that out. So it's definitely not a split five, you know. What else? One of the things we jotted down was enjoying life and ministry. Because aren't there times where you just feel stretched and it's like, did I smile at all today? Was there a point of joy? Am I really loving what I'm doing? And we all have days where that happens. And we have the other days, too, where it's like, you know, if they hadn't called, this would have been one of those enjoyable days. If this hadn't happened, if the plan would have gone according to the plan as it was laid out, it makes such a difference. And so the dictionary defines thriving as growing or developing well, prospering, flourishing. Listen to that again. Growing or developing well, somebody said that, prospering, flourishing. What's the impact on us when that's not happening? When we're not flourishing, what happens? What are some of the things that come to mind as you're like, man, depression. Hearing about more and more people that's just one of those issues. There's just so much and you feel pressed down. We face that in the mission field oftentimes. What else? Yeah, just that feeling like, man, I'm not getting anywhere. I'm just stagnant, just in the muck right here. There's a lot of pond water around here. I don't know if you noticed that. And that part that doesn't get any movement, the fountains are great, but then there's that kind of like, oh, off to the side. I think they were serving that, actually, in the booth this morning. It was all green. It was like, except for the spinach, I think I could drink this, but maybe not today. But you just kind of feel that. What else? When we're not thriving.
Yeah. Anxiety.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
I think creativity and innovation suffer.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Creativity, you don't have it for that. It's like I haven't had a creative thought. I've been working right now on having the month of July off because of travel that I have that's very extensive in the next few months. And just trying to just stop, as we were told last night, to be loved by the Lord, but also just to have time to think, just to be able to process, because we've been processing a whole bunch of things, but I don't have time to get to the creative side of that. Yeah, what else? Yeah, who cares about that one, huh? Yeah, I mean, yeah, just, is it worth it? And so why bother? And I'll just let it go. And probably should put a few more hours into the sermon, but what difference does it really make? And I mean, we could go to practical applications, couldn't we? What else? Fear creeps in, sometimes crashes in. Yeah. Right. Right. Find an escape. Run if you can. There's got to be something better than this. This isn't worth it, so let's try something else. And that's not every Monday in pastoring, but I remember those Mondays where it's like, yeah, that didn't work, and it was supposed to. Sometimes we make lack of really positive decisions, too. We make really wrong decisions during those times. Sometimes we're not thriving because we just don't have fruitfulness. And I think that's something that faces off with many of our leaders around the world. Sometimes the cause of it is internal battles. One of the statements that we make oftentimes is, wherever you go, there you are. You know, you take with you what you have. One of the things we've discovered with missionaries is, you know, the baggage that you have that's just kind of a little bundle when you're here, when you go across, it grows. You know, some people think it goes away on the flight over, that you're perfectly holy when you land. But really what happens is that little suitcase you had turns into the massive, you know, crate of stuff that gets worse and worse. And sometimes we're not thriving because we've never dealt with deeper issues in our life. What else kind of contributes to that causes us not to thrive on the inside stuff of who we are? Yeah, your relationship with God suffers. Yeah. 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 I'm doing a session tomorrow on extended time alone with God, and one of the tools that I'll pass out during that time, it's a good prop for the seminar, is a forgiveness card. And I do a day alone with God every month, and I have for, I think it's over 30 years now. And I take that card with me about every 3 months. And I just pray this simple prayer, Lord, bring to mind anyone that I need to forgive. Just once. I'd like no name to come to mind. I try to keep short accounts by doing this every 3 months. But always someone comes. And sometimes it's subtle, and sometimes it's buried because the enemy loves to take and push the bitterness down and then pretend it's not there for you, you know, which I'm pretty good at too. The enemy does it too, but I'm pretty good at that. And then I don't realize that it's actually far bigger than what it seems. But it's rotting things away. And sometimes we're carrying bitterness, and sometimes it's because of not thriving personally or allowing things to be unsettled or unrepaired in our lives. Lots of stress, external pressures. Our leader in Southern African region, which is South Africa and Zimbabwe, it used to include Mozambique, it used to include Swaziland. Those churches have grown so much that they've been able to kind of break out on their own national churches. But it's a huge area, lots of districts. Our leader there, Dr. Galela, his name is actually Doctor. I don't know if his family named him that with the hopes, but he doesn't have a doctorate, but it's got a good name, you know. And Dr. Galela has a pretty significant-sized family. His wife is often ill. He very rarely gets paid by as the regional superintendent, which is a really significant position. Very rarely gets all of his paycheck. The districts haven't been contributing well. He has a number of children, but recently one of his family members, I don't remember if it was a brother or brother-in-law, passed away, and so they took those children into their home. And then he has a travel, a significant amount of travel, but has a bad vehicle that breaks down quite a bit. I mentioned his wife's been ill. She's doing okay right now, but it's been just a long, long journey for several years of this illness that she carries. And she, when he's gone, is taking care of the kids that are the extra kids that aren't even theirs, you know. And that's culturally what you do when a family member has a need. You take them in. And I'm thinking, man, I don't know any pastors that have to quite go through that. And I don't think I could go through that. Sometimes the circumstances of our lives really are overwhelming. And I've seen missionaries fail to thrive because they haven't made adjustments. Sometimes because they're hanging on to home and won't let go, and you have to let go in order to thrive in the new place. Some of you know that in a transition maybe you've gone through recently. And it's you're ready to leave, but you kind of want to the familiar and hold back onto that. But we never really do thrive in those situations. The reality is, too, there's an enemy. And he loves to steal. And he loves to kill. And he loves to destroy. And he'll do anything to suck the life out of us. So, how do we move forward? That was a pretty discouraging beginning.
Thanks for setting that up for me, Dennis.
Take it on, Nikki.
Yeah. Well, our tendency may be to associate thriving with more positive thoughts. I mean, we kind of made that list, right? You know, enjoying life, all these things, maybe feeling like we enjoy our ministry, we're feeling really connected to God, connected to other people, seeing fruit, seeing a significant impact of what we're doing. But thriving, this growing and developing well part, is a little bit sticky. We love it when it's flourishing and prospering, but we all know that growth and development sometimes is not enjoyable. Sometimes it's painful. You've heard of growing pains. So sometimes thriving is God using part of those, some of the things we listed that are threats to thriving can actually be part of God growing us, pruning us, preparing us for a season of thriving. It can be part of growing and developing well. Thriving may mean that we need to say, but in spite of this, I press on with trust. In working with missionaries and global leaders around the world, we're starting to think of resilience and thriving going together, and thinking of it more as a three-legged stool. And the first leg of that stool is faithfulness. And this is all about, you know, the grit, the perseverance, obedience, following through, taking steps, you know, trusting who God is, even when we don't understand what it is he's doing, enduring suffering well. And then there's joyfulness. That's a sense of our personal vitality. Intimacy with God, it's the one that I think is maybe the clearest to us when we think of thriving. We tend to go for joyfulness, but it's just one of the legs. And then the third one is fruitfulness. That's the sense of effectiveness. When we're spirit-filled and spirit-led, bearing the fruit of the Spirit and the Spirit's work, seeing evidence of a trust in God, the fruit of obedience, multiplying followers and leaders. And so we've begun to realize that when we emphasize one of these to the exclusion of the other two, we tend to get a little bit lopsided. When we think, oh, the key to thriving will just be being more effective, more fruitful. Well, people end up feeling a bit beat up sometimes if they're in a season where the fruit isn't coming as quickly. Or it's just all about me enjoying it. me feeling good about ministry, me feeling connected to God, well, that can actually turn in on self-focus. And pretty soon we're not thriving. And then faithfulness, if it's just about sticking around, being the last one to turn out the lights, well, that's not really thriving either. So the three of these are all important parts, and they need to be held in balance. And we see the interplay of these three in John chapter 15, and I invite you to take a look at that with me. I've highlighted a few verses in particular there, but let me just read this passage, verses 1 through 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends, for everything I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command: love each other. And so we see this interplay of these three in this passage, this connection to God that is in the intimacy with God, remaining in him, the bearing fruit that is just a natural expression of that. He tells us these things so that our joy may be complete. But then it's not for our glory, you know, it's for God's glory. But there's also that picture of pruning, right? And if you know anything about pruning, when you go at it on those roses, you're not going to see buds for a while. So sometimes that's part of the thriving process, is pruning and enduring that, waiting, remaining in him. So the Father desires for us to be deeply rooted in his love and full of joy. He asks us to faithfully remain in him, even patiently enduring those times of pruning that are for our growth and development. And when we do that, we can count on that he will bear fruit in our lives. That's for his glory. I want you to take a minute and think about your own life and ministry. And I'll go back here to these three and just do a little self-assessment. Maybe if you want, you can jot it down. We have some 3x5 cards here. Dennis, you want to pass these out to anyone who wants? There's some pens as well. And I'm not going to ask you to share what grade you're giving yourself, but if you had to rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 5, which is how we give grades in Bosnia, so A is a 5 and 1 is an F, how would you rate your faithfulness? How well are you doing, and how balanced are these three legs of your thriving stool? Well, the question becomes, how do we nurture the development of these things, regardless of what our circumstances look like? Whether we're having good times, think everything's balanced, we're really thriving. There's still the need to nurture these three. Or we might find ourselves in a season where we feel like, wow, I am totally being pruned. I don't like it much, but how do I endure? Or I'm in a place where I'm not seeing fruit. How do I keep going? So I want to share with you some lessons that are born out of my own experiences serving abroad and working with global leaders, but then also things we've learned from leaders like Dr. Galela that Dinesh shared about. And the first one is to look and learn, to look and learn. And this is the idea of looking for encouraging parables and lessons from your circumstances. And sometimes you might need the help of some really oversized large glasses, you know? Get these on. Actually, I'm not sure these are helping me to see very clearly. But sometimes we need some real obvious reminders that if we open our eyes and look, God might speak to us. He might encourage us by just looking right where we are. So one morning in Bosnia, back when I lived there and was the mission director for our team, I was walking a short distance from my house to a colleague's to meet with a group of ladies on our team. And I just prayed, God, would you give me a word of encouragement for these women? They were new missionaries. They were struggling with adapting to culture and life there. They were struggling to thrive. And as I walked down the road, I was overwhelmed by the sight of all these sheep coming down this hill, the street, into this busy intersection. And there was a shepherd or two whistling and leading them through this. And I just stood there in wonder, taking in the scene. It was just this mix of exhaust and horns honking and sheep bleating and the shepherds whistling. And I stood there, tears in my eyes, overwhelmed by the irony and the parable that was unfolding right before me. I thought of John chapter 10. Verses 14 and 15, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Verse 4, when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. And I was watching some sheep follow their shepherds, but in some pretty unlikely circumstances. I don't know how much you know about sheep, but sheep, I saw a lot of sheep in Bosnia, and they're not exactly known for their smarts. You know this, right? They might feast in a pasture one day, but for the life of them, they wouldn't be able to find the same spot the next day without being led to it. They're not known for caring for themselves. They can't care for themselves. They can't nurture themselves. They can't protect themselves. They are completely and totally dependent on the shepherd. So why would a good shepherd lead these sheep through this busy, dangerous intersection? Well, I stood there delighted that day because I knew where they were going. There's this green pasture that is down below where our house used to be. Well, the house is still there, but we're not there. And I knew the shepherd was taking them there. And the only way to get there was to go down the street, into traffic, down a few more side streets to get to the green pasture that was behind my house. That was the only way to get there. And sure enough, after the Bible study, when I went home, I walked that way and I found them all there, laying down, resting in the pasture, after they'd had a good meal. Sometimes the shepherd takes his sheep through some dangerous terrain in order to lead them to the best places to eat. And when I walked on from that scene to the Bible study, I just rejoiced that the Lord gave me this Bosnian parable, a lesson right there from my surroundings that encouraged me and I could use to encourage others on my team. Sometimes we just need to look around at our circumstances and let them speak to us. The next is to listen and learn. Listen for God to speak to you and to your situation through His Word. Now, I'm not known for being really into props, but Dennis lent me his ears. And are these things on? Sometimes we need to listen in closely. Listen in closely. Listen for God's voice. Dr. Alfred Colombo, he is the national superintendent in Bosnia. He's called the Bishop of Zambia. It's quite a title. How would you like that? And he's part of a global leadership training program. He just finished a term as the president of the Council of Churches. He is a gifted trainer, teacher, leader. So you can imagine the weight, though, of those responsibilities. He's leading so many districts and leaders to make difficult decisions. And on top of it all, he has quite a large family. The kids are grown, but they're getting married and kids and all these issues. And in that culture, he is responsible to care for them. And so he was in a season of feeling pretty overwhelmed by all that was before him, different issues in churches. And so he was looking to the Lord and looking to God's word. And God didn't wait for Christmas to speak to him a passage that we often focus on during Christmas. It was Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. One day, Alfred was reading the word, and this came alive to him. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." And God, just on that summer day, far from Christmas, God spoke to Reverend Alfred Colombo, "I am everything you need. This government is on my shoulders, not yours. There's no end to my peace, and I am a wonderful counselor. I'm here for you." God's word speaks. And sometimes we need to listen in and expect him to speak, maybe through an unlikely word in a particular season, and then just to lean into it and trust it. The next is, sometimes we need to link arms and learn. Link arms and learn. Now, I've got a mortar board here. I don't know if I can get this on right. Which side do you put it on? You know, they give these at graduation, and it's a sign of a completion of a learning program. But it's actually a sign that you're being commissioned out as a lifelong learner. You've been given the skills to learn. And sometimes I think we need to remember that as people in ministry and take the posture of a learner. And this idea of linking arms with those we serve, sometimes the people we serve are the people we need to be learning from in order to thrive. The temptation is to have it all together for their sake. But there are some tremendous lessons that those that God has called us to serve can teach us. And that happened to me. When we were in Bosnia, progress came slower than what we wanted it to. Fruit the fruit of disciple making and church planting, there weren't people lined up and excited to read scripture with us. And I really, really struggled with that. I was very depressed by that. And so one day, our dear friends, Zdenko and Sandra, they had served with us on the team. And he is the pastor of the church in Croatia. They came to visit us. Now, even though we had been on the same team as a missionary, I think in my mind I thought, well, I'm still there to serve them. You know, I want them to receive things from me. But we sat there together for coffee, and I kind of went into my regular, things are so hard, and people aren't coming to Jesus, and I wish we were seeing more fruit. And Sandra started giving me an update on their garden, the progress of their garden. And I thought, this doesn't make sense, but... And this is the story she told me. When the builders cleared away much of the ground around the plot of our house as they were building it, they moved truckloads of dark, rich soil. They're building the house with her parents that they moved into. But she said, wouldn't you know it, when they put the ground in around the house when it was finished, we didn't see that dark, rich soil anymore. It was all rocky dirt. Dry, rocky dirt. So before I could even think about planting a garden, I had to pull out lots and lots of rocks. Piles and piles of them. And it's amazing how many we've seen. Every time it rains, I turn the soil one more time and I get several more rocks, wheelbarrows full of them, piles of them, that my dad needs to take away. Sandra went on to say some days that she would work hours and hours just picking rocks. And one day, Zdenko leaned his head out the balcony. You notice Zdenko's not helping, but he leaned his head out the balcony and observed that it didn't look like she was making very much progress. There were still so many rocks. And she pointed over to the piles and said, but look. And sure enough, you could see there were tons there. And then she said to me, Nikki, that's what you're doing here. You're picking out rocks, and at first glance, it looks like you're not doing much. But then you see the piles of rocks. And she said, when God's given you that assignment, you don't show up with a basket as if it's time to gather, but you show up with a shovel and a hoe and a wheelbarrow, and you get to work thanking him for the job that he gave you to do. I tell you what, guys, Sandra took me to school that day. And I'm so grateful that he taught me a lesson through this dear sister that I thought I was there to serve. Link arms and learn. Well, I want to give you a couple minutes to reflect. To reflect on your own situation, your lives, your ministry, even just the cities, the places where you live, and to put on your glasses. Take a look around in your mind's eye at your own setting. What has God been showing you? And then to listen, to kind of reflect back on maybe passages you've been reading, or a word that's been spoken to you. How has God been speaking to you? And then to link and learn. Maybe you have had an interaction with someone that is part of your church or someone that's part of your ministry. And when you think about it, that was a significant word they spoke to you. Or maybe God would bring to mind someone that you can learn from by watching their example. So I want to give you some moments now to think about that. And you may not have an answer for every one of those categories. But I'm going to ask you to be ready to share at least one thing with a couple of other people, okay? So let me give you a little time to reflect now, and then we'll get into groups of three to share. Okay, so I'd like to ask everyone to stand, please, and find two other people. So were there 21, 22 people in the room? So we might have a couple pairs or a group of four, but just turn around, find a couple other people standing near you, and share with them one of the things that you thought of for these three questions, okay? You can sit down if you need to. Just turn your chairs where it's comfortable. If whoever is sharing right now could just wind down your thoughts. You can stay where you are if you like, but just turn where you can see. Or you can just listen. You don't have to look at me. So God desires us to have life to the full and to thrive in the work that He has entrusted us to do in His power for His glory, and to connect with Him joyfully, to follow His lead faithfully, and to fruitfully see Him work through our obedience. And sometimes we need to look and learn, and listen and learn, and link arms and learn from those that we're serving with or serving. One more lesson from the Global Church on Thriving, and that is to have a very short gap, no gap at all if possible, between hearing and obeying. In Europe, in Turkic Arabic area, and Asia especially, we're focusing on disciple-making movements. And every time we open Scripture together, we ask two questions, maybe in different forms. What is God saying to you, and how will you obey Him? And then the next time we meet, we say, you said you wanted to obey God by doing, how's that going? You know, we hold each other accountable. So we're going to do that right here. What's something that God's saying to you through this time together? What's a thought that He's highlighted for you? And what are you going to do about it? What's one step of obedience that He would have you take? So take a moment and think about it. Jot it down if you want. You know, we're much more likely to follow through on the things we write down and the things that we tell someone else. So what's He saying to you, and how will you obey Him? Let me pray for you as we close. Lord, I do thank You that You speak to us through Your Word. You speak right into our situations, and You use the things around us. Lord, thank You that You humble us, and You have so much to teach us, even through those that we've been called to serve. And Lord, one of the things we've done today is we've told stories from experiences around the world, and stories of global leaders that we know of. And Lord, I thank You for the ability to be taught by them today. And Lord, we've told our stories together. And what a gift it is, the reminder that we're not alone in this. And so, Lord, I pray that You would increase our joy, increase our faithfulness, increase our fruitfulness, and that, Lord, we would be a church that thrives in You. Whether it's in a season of plenty or want, that we could thrive. And we'll give You all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.